Good evening and welcome back. This is In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And what an Oscar-worthy performance that was. We had some on the track today as well, not only from the horses, the jockeys and the trainers, but also from our tipsters. We had big winners on last night's show, and our guys who are joining us tonight as well didn't turn up last night, but it gave them more time to put up winners in the paper. So look, everyone's got a smile on their face, the sun is shining, and we saw some good horses today. Scandinavia won the Bahrain Trophy by half the track, and Will Buick was fantastic on El Cordobes. We had a fantastic winner, of course, of the three-year-old sprint handicap as well. Prince of India coming down this near side all on his Todd to win by three or four lengths, it looked like at the time, and it wasn't a dry eye in the house as Eve Johnson Horton upset the apple cart and all those expensive and beautifully bred horses to win the July Stakes with a nice type as well. Plenty of other things to talk about, including an old favourite getting up in the last, but let us know on the chat what you thought of today, and like I said, we are live and interactive as ever, so like the stream, get involved, let us know what you fancy in capital letters as well if you've got a big fancy, so I can pick it out of the chit chat. Hello to Ben, hello to Mappers, hello to Pure Blood, hello to Richard Salter Townsend, and to Jim Stanton as well. We've got Group 1 action, of course, tomorrow with the Falmouth Stakes as well. We're going to throw in a bit of York in preparation for a big Super Saturday, and like I said, hopefully we can continue our fantastic tipping form. Maybe you've got to the point in the flat season where everything's starting to make sense, everything's starting to come together. It certainly is for the man on my left. You may remember him from such performances as best supporting actor in Get In There, My Son. I don't know if you saw that one. Might well have gone straight to VHS. Yes, Mr. Paul Keighley, how are you?
Not too bad, old chap. Well, that's the best posh accent I can do. I don't think I'll be getting a position on Downton Abbey anytime soon. But
look, you never know. You never know. Say what you like. People can say what they like about you, Keels, yeah. But you are you're a great tipster and a great sport.
And I definitely don't use that orange stuff.
Yeah, that's not tell us where we got that from. Yes. what did you make of today?
Well, Scandinavia was good, wasn't he? Just lightning fast time for that trip as well. I mean, really good. And the strange thing was, I don't know, bookmakers getting caught on the hop, but Ladbrokes held 16-1 for the St. Ledger for ages afterwards.
Okay.
I think it's top price 7 now with them.
Do you think they forgot it was a St. Ledger trial?
Yeah, I've no idea. I mean, you know, as you just said off camera, Brian could run the whole field, couldn't he? So it all depends on what's going on. But it was never a 16-1. You take your chance at that price, didn't you? Because that was really, really good. He is in the Goodwood Cup, I think, as well, which would obviously be running a 7 stone something or the like, wouldn't he? So quite interesting.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. I mean, also the fastest time on the car, which for a mile five is pretty good going. And also, I just had a look. The last time that race was run good to firm, Dover Legend won it a few seasons ago in 3/4 of a second slower, and he went on to finish fourth in the Melbourne Cup and win the Voltages. So, it looks like
cheap pieces of work because he looked really slow at Ascot, didn't he?
Yeah,
strange, isn't it? But they really perked him up.
Yeah, he absolutely dotted up, and a good winner in the last as well, Dutch Decoy.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice.
Very nice. Yeah, I love the old boys, and you know, £16 lower than when he'd last run there, and he's won. You know, he's now won 4 of 6 there.
Yeah,
but you know, just had to back him.
Yeah, and he could be. There's a lot of new market meetings between now and the end of the season, isn't there, for the Johnson team to target? And Tom Siegel, obviously not necessarily a star in front of the camera in here tonight.
And Keels.
Not. I mean, could you pull off a performance like that, Tom?
Well, I can do the posh thing because I'm pretty posh as it is. I can't do the Cockney one as well as Keels, that's for sure.
No, fair enough. But you had a pretty good day today as well. I mean, Keels, it's a good job that last one won because he was cursing your name in that three-year-old sprint handicap as Keels' tip won one side and then Prince of India decimated the whole field from down this near side rail.
Yeah, to be fair, Keels, I think Prince of India would have won if you'd have been drawn anywhere.
Absolutely. I was still annoyed because I spent absolutely ages on that race and 2 minute Tom comes in and picks the 3.5 length winner. Not fair.
I would
never have found Dutch Decoy in a million years. Yeah. So there we go.
That Leicester race was, I mean, he was a huge eye catcher and Wotton Bassett as well. I mean, it's a, again, you're a pedigrees man. It was all there, and you were very strong. You picked one race. That's like, you know, it's quality, not quantity.
Yeah, well, I only had four, and they were all those Mickey Mouse small field races, weren't they? I probably should have spent more time on the two-year-old race because I might have found the winner, at the big price. But I didn't, thinking that one of the Godolphins or the Aiden O'Brien would win it. But there we go. That would teach me for being lazy on that race. I should have done more work on it. But yeah, listen, I like heels. We don't get many shots at big field. Well, we get lots of shots at big field handicaps, but on a day like this, you've only really got one race to go for. So it was nice to get the winner.
It's quite nice, though, isn't it? And look, I mean, obviously, you know, tomorrow night's show is going to be mad because you've got 3 days' worth of feature races in one day, haven't you, on Saturday? And I don't want to keep banging that. There's too much racing drum. But isn't it nice when you look at a card and you, or even a day, and you go, well, there's two good races I'm interested in, and you can actually take your time with them and develop a strong opinion rather than getting overwhelmed with 10 of them?
Yeah, there is. But as you know, Keels and I always say, you don't have to bet in every race, that's for sure. So the thing is to specialise, isn't there? I'll come tomorrow, I won't be looking at all 12 races on TV, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'll be looking at the ones that I can find, that give me the best chance of finding a nice price winner. So, you know, a race like the Bunbury Cup, which would normally be my bread and butter, might get shelved to the side because I think More Thunder's going to win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but one more quick, before we get onto that, one more quick question from today. Scandinavia, Zavateri, Prince of India, Opera Ballo, who would you prefer to follow for the rest of the season?
I like all of them. I think Prince of India is a very good horse going forward, definitely. But I think the first one, Scandinavia, would be the one. Really, I think he's a cut horse waiting. He's going to take off, isn't he? And I know Aidan O'Brien's got a load of them, but I think next year he could be running in Gold Cups and horses and races like that. And I love those races, so I hope he's as good as he looks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the same with everything. It's the same with sport, but just life in general. He does have all those horses, Keels, but you know, in order to get better, you have to run against the best. And if you're training at home against the best, and then coming on the track and running against the best, it's only gonna help them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the cream does rise, isn't it? And they've got so many to run against, and then they come out and do that, don't they?
We do indeed. Paul Tolliver says if Scandinavia started now, he wouldn't win the ledger. There you go. All right, strong shout for that one.
Not have a chance if he started now, to be fair.
If he started now, to be fair, if he had to gallop from Newmarket to Doncaster, he might struggle.
He'd still get there before September, to be fair.
yeah, true. Fair. Just put him on the LNER, it's fine. What else have we got? Paul Tolliver also says Eve Johnson Hort is a very underrated train. I think we definitely agree with that.
Absolutely.
Pure Bullet says a big thank you for giving me Zavateri last night, going at 25-1. You are welcome. Hello to Neil Mecham, to Louis French, and to everyone else as well. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. You can get involved in the comments as well, or you can click on the link to this survey and tell us what you think of what we do and what we put out there. This is your chance. Let rip, let loose, and you can win one of £500.
And can
Amazon
I just say, Ross, when you answer that, make sure you say the tipsters are the best things in the paper for us, will you? Please, me and Keeps. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And you'll chuck in an extra... Send us your Amazon wish list as well, Tom, and maybe, you know...
You can get some... I'll send you something from Amazon too.
Yeah. You can get some raw plugs or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, okay, right. Anyway, we'll be into to Friday. After this. Okay, because we don't have the human smart view, aka Keith Melrose, you're going to have to go on the Racing Post app and see what's that's come up with for tomorrow's races. But speaking of which, let's get stuck in, shall we? Starting off at Newmarket. Like I said, we're going to do most of the good ones from Newmarket and then a couple from York to wet the whistle there. And we start off with a 10 furlong handicap over... for the three-year-old, so where King's Charter and Urban Glimpse are 11-4 joint favourites here. Karaka, 5-1. Mahaba Gayath is 5s. Warhawk, 11-2. Regalian, 8s. Palazzo Blue, 28s. Cayman Dancer is 40-1. We've got the dead eight runners here. And we've got Andrew Baldwin and Oshie Murphy teaming up with Urban Glimpse. We've got Charlie Epley's King's Charter. He's only won this once with nine runners in the past 10 years, but that was a handicap debutant in the shape of New London a couple of seasons ago. And... if I'm honest, I even thought Kevin Dansford had a little bit of squeak. I thought he ran a blinder at Carlisle last time out on unsuitable soft ground, and he's 40-1. So that pretty much tells you it's one of those races, despite the eight runners, that I struggle to rule out too many.
Yeah, it is a small field for a 100 grand handicap, though, isn't it? 3-year-old handicap. Where are all the good 3-year-olds? I mean, they normally get bought and sold to Australia after this race, don't they?
There's not a single horse out of Britannia, which confused me.
Exactly. It's very strange. So it's a good pot to go for. And yeah, it's not easy. I know Charlie Apple has won this with a handicap division Tom before, but they haven't got the best of records in the race, have they? And he comes here saddled with top weight. And I thought there's some horses here with some pretty solid handicap form, notably Urban Glimpse, who I think is definitely the one to beat on handicap form. The second to Singers, the Song worked out really, really well, even though he blew out in the big handicap at Royal Ascot because he missed the break. Those behind have been loads of winners. And again, Dante's Lad, the half-length second of Dante's Lad at York has worked out incredibly well as well. That's really solid form. He's going to run well. But we're talking about Johnston horses liking Newmarket. What about Johnston like in Newmarket and this race? Yeah. The Johnston Yard has won this race 7 times since 2013, which is incredible. Not a single one of them was Fav.
Well, they never are they? No. I mean, the race at Haydock at the weekend, he had the 1-2.
Yeah, yeah. Another race he's done remarkably well in as well. And it sickened me when he did, actually, because I sort of jumped off. I jumped off one of them. Actually, I don't think it was the winner, so I'm all right there. But it's, that annoyed me a little bit. But I mean, this horse has just got the Johnston profile right over him. He's incredibly consistent. He's had one bad run in his life where he
but missed. Just to check, because there's two Johnston horses, Maharba Gay, I think.
Sorry, Maharba Gay, yeah. He's got two. He's got one bad run in his life. He was 7th of 8 at Musselburgh, where he missed the break, and I think sulked after getting bumped. Forgive him that, and he's never been out of the first two, and he'd arguably would have won 4 of his last 5 if he hadn't been carried wide at Chester on his penultimate start, when he was beaten ahead by Top Team, who's gone in again since and is now £10 higher. He himself was won at Redcar. It wasn't much of a race, to be fair. He would have beaten old favourite in Cruyff Turn by a length, but it was over a mile when he was only just starting to get going in it. Going at the end, dropping back to a mile. He'd be miles better back at a mile two. He's a half-brother to Fujiera Prince and Nichols Canyon. Guaranteed to actually love the trip.
Yeah.
And I just think he's going to go really, really well.
And if he doesn't, he'll
And he's a potential pace angle in a race lacking them.
And he either dots up or gets sold and goes for the triumph. That's probably your two routes.
Potentially. Stays hurdling a few times, Nichols Canyon.
Yeah, absolutely. Maharba Gay then is a 5-1 shot. Yeah, so interesting stuff. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the other Johnston horse, he got chucked out at Lingfield on his one and only run on fast ground when he beat Percy's Daydream, but he caught the eye at Carlisle on soft ground last time.
They've had a couple of 25-1 outsiders win this as well, so we'll put you off.
The one that really caught, you're talking about Slowly Away at Musselburgh, though. I mean, Regalian, crikey O'Reilly, this horse should have won off the track last time out, fell out of the stalls, got outpaced, was 5 lengths behind the winner, went half a length up on the eventual winner, was a Johnston horse, a furlong from home, and then just got tired. He's got a few ideas about the game, that's for sure, Regalian, but I think Tom Marquand back in the saddle, he could be very interesting. So a couple of half-decent prices there, Tom. What did you like?
Those two, the two you mentioned. Maharba Gay, for all the reasons Keel said, I think he's going to make the running from stall one under James Doyle. Hard to pass. Regalian's a bit funny. I didn't think he got tired. I think he just chucked taunts in and then suddenly thought, I can probably still win this, and then just got going again near the line. He was in front before and after the line. So I just think if it's just a tricky ride, but if things drop for him and they went really hard and he could drop him on the line, then I think he'd have a good chance too. But I'm with Keels on Maharba Gay, so I just think, I thought the former Redcar last time was pretty good as well. I know it was old Cruyff Turn, but Cruyff Turn from the front on very fast ground. I mean, he was a good horse in his day. He won one of those big handicaps at York, mile handicaps at York. When he gets rolling on fast ground, he's quite a hard horse to catch. I know he's dropped down the weights, but I'd be surprised if he won a big one soon. And I thought Maharba Gay was well on top of the line. So, yeah, I fancy him too.
Yeah. I mean, he's also a Redcar specialist, isn't he, Cruyff Turn? And he's won 4 times at the track. So, and the third, Rhythm Master, ran a blinder at Musselburgh next time as well. So,
shouldn't he, next time, Rhythm Master?
Yeah, okay. Lovely stuff. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm glad you're in agreement, because I did think the top of the market was a little bit I don't know. I guess they're the obvious connections, aren't they, and form lines, so maybe that's why they've gone for them. But Appleby and Buick for me, keep it simple, says Felder. And Darren Ewan fancies King's Charter, so we completely disagree with us, but that's the game. That is the game. Okay, right, moving on then to the next race at Newmarket tomorrow, the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes, Group 2 for the fillies here, and just the six of them had a surprise in today's two-year-old race, of course, and again, another one of those, to be fair, the outsider, Mood Queen, absolutely dotted up over course and distance last time out, so not entirely out of having an upset here, but Venetian Sun, 4-7 favourite here after that very impressive win at Royal Ascot. 5-1 Argentine Tango, who's an old rival of the favourite. Shine On Me, 10s. Royal Fixation, 11s. Spicy Marg is 12-1. Mood Queen, like I said, is the outsider at 16s. And there's a quote from Sean Graham, who's racing manager for Tony Bloom, of course, owns Venetian Sun. And yeah, I mean, connections have been banging the drum for her for since probably before her debut. She won really, really well. And I was messaging you after Royal Ascot, Tom, about horses and races to take out of it, and she was pretty much top of your list, wasn't she?
Yeah, I thought she was really impressive. Stall won, she got sort of turned sideways halfway through, she got bumped, knocked into, and she still won, I thought, incredibly easily. So I thought she was as impressive as any horse, at any two-year-old at the Royal Meeting. I thought, you know, if she'd been an Aidan O'Brien, people would have been, oh, he's the greatest horse in sliced bread. I think she's really good. I think this is the worst race. I'd be very, very surprised if she got beat. The one that could give her a race, I think, might be Spicy Marge for Michael Bell. She's bred to like the 6 furlongs. I think I read somewhere she was in season at Ascot, and Michael Bell's completely convinced that wasn't her form. She did look good at the Rolly Mile track on her debut, and I don't think the 6 furlong will be any problem for her, so I think Richard Sun will win, and I think Spicy Marge might be second.
All right, fair enough. I quite like the Queen Mary form, though, as well. I mean, I did like Venetian Sun. I just thought the Queen Mary was a slightly hotter contest in terms of overall numbers. And one of the big arguments for me was Shine On Me. I mean, you know, a maiden won this last year, Tom, and she was one of the first ones that, and I played the video about it, I was like, what's this? It's 100-1. It had absolutely no chance on form. And she kind of coasted home, and I thought, crikey, she's going to love a 6th furlong. And it's a big move, isn't it, for a maiden to come into this. But she ran to an RPR of 96 last time out, so it's not that big a move.
No, not at all. I mean, finishing 6th in Queen Mary is probably better than winning with Royal Fixation's maiden, isn't it? Or whatever Queen Mood won last time. So it's not, and that's in the price, 10-1. But yeah, she's got a chance too, yeah.
What did you think had a chance? Anything?
Well, I backed a horse that was staying on strongly in the Norfolk in today's 6 furlong race, and it came out, was miles too keen, and I think it finished just about last. Yeah. That's what can happen.
Yeah, and literally, so if you go in 10-second sectionals, 10-second furlongs or whatever, you're going to get beat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'd say Miss Top, I'd be surprised if she's beat. You had Carl Burke talking afterwards about her kicking 110 rated older horses out of the way on the gallops. He obviously thinks, you know, he's pretty much said that she's the best filly he's ever had. Let's hope he's right. It's not a race I'm going to bet in, not a race I'm remotely interested in betting in, but it's certainly fascinating to watch to see how good she could be.
Yeah, I mean, similar-ish profile, but I think probably a better horse than Dandala, which was his last winner a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a bit more of a speedball, wasn't she, than Venetian Sun. But yeah, I mean, again, just a quick, what do we make of Argentine Tango? Because again, part of me, you know, Tim Easterby, she's by Matt Moo. again, there's part of me that, you know, I kind of want, I'm like, go on, Tim Easterby with your daughter of Matt Moo. Put it up to him.
Really? I don't like it when those horses win, Ross. You know me. I'm a snob about these pedigrees. I like the good pedigrees. I think that's the problem where we go wrong with, you know, I hate it when, I hate sprinters. You know I do. the rubbish pedigrees. I think they're absolutely
useless. He keeps more winning sprinters than anybody else.
I know.
But that's because they just go on pedigrees, because anything with a good pedigree, you meet them. It's as simple as that. Yeah. You know, they're just not very... I'd be surprised if Argentina gets anywhere near Venetian Sun.
I mean, to be fair to Matt Moose, she was third in a Nunthorpe. She won several group races. She's not Oriental.
He'd be a good stier. She would be a good. She'd be doing something very special.
You're right. Sorry, this is a fillies race. So in my head, I'm getting them all mixed up. But I'm sure they'll check that sort of thing down at the start. What else have we got? Royal Fixation for Destiny Sounds by Palace Pier will be booked. Could be a half decent one then for the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. Okay. Moving on then to the staying handicap here at Newmarket, where Endless Victory has been quite well backed over the course of the past 24 hours, and no great surprise. 4-1, Dancing in Paris is 6s, Story Horse is 6s, Champagne Prince is 6s, Insanity 7s, Align the Stars 8s, Lieber Power 8s, One for the Gutter 8s, and then bigger prices the rest, but those are bigger prices. Not entirely enticing at first glance. Another Charlie Appleby horse on the July course is always going to be popular. He last won this in 2018, mind. But, crikey O'Reilly. I mean, look, I think that French Master race is good. And Endless Victory, well, I mean, it was endless bad luck, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's probably second best horse in the race, I thought. Could easily be. I mean, he came back from as far or possibly even further back than French Master, who John Gosnell said afterwards he thought would be a cup horse, an Endless Victory. Obviously, French Master came down the outside, got a nice clean run all the way through. Endless Victory tried to go inside a couple and hit trouble twice. And paid for it, but he only got beat 5 lengths. He was a huge, huge eye catcher. That was his first run at a mile and 6. He's a brother to Cross Counter, who won a Melbourne Cup and ran in cup races. He's just going to carry on improving, I think, at the age of 4. I wouldn't be surprised if he was running in cup races next year himself. And a mark of 103, I think he's lobbed in. I tried to see past him. I really hate, because I put this out as one of the horses to follow from Royal Ascot afterwards. I really hate being lazy, because I don't use a tracker. But he's just in my head, and I'd already mentioned the race for him then. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just think he'll win, and I tried going through and finding something else. Obviously, I backed Dancing in Paris and the other week?
Northumberland Plate.
The Plate the other week, and it got beat by an old favourite of mine. So I can see him running well. And I suppose the one you could argue that is just too big is, and I haven't backed it, but is Real Dream.
Yeah, well, you say too big. I mean, he was. He's not now. Yeah. He's coming, I think, 25s into 9s in a place as well. Because
He? He's gone right down. Yeah, he was only beaten half length by Coltrane in that year last time, and he was only just behind French Master the time before. He's a bit in and out, isn't he? He's got some, you know, his form graph would be like a lot of witches' hats, wouldn't it? Like, you know what I mean? But he's, you know, when he's good, he's very good. And, you know, he's officially £6 well in, I think.
And to be fair, a lot of his in and out, you know, he was obviously, you know, Sir Michael Stout last year. We've seen a lot of his horses come out and improve from the trainer. So I think you could probably rule out his runs last year because clearly, you know, the operation was winding down.
Yeah, and he's also very good in Williams with Stayers.
He is very good. He's also got One for the Gutter in here as well. Who ran well behind Insanity in a strange old race up at Ayr last time out. But yeah.
I'll still be disappointed if Endless Victory doesn't win.
Yeah, it feels a bit like it's that first thought, best thought again that we were talking about, isn't it, Tom? You think, crikey, that was eye-catching. That race at Newmarket will suit him. And he turns up here and he's a rightful favourite.
Well, it's just not a good race either, is it? That's the point I'd like to make about this, is that I don't think it's very strong. And so, therefore, I think Endless Victory is undoubtedly the one to beat. And I completely get the Real Dream argument. That's my fault of why Real Dream is 8-1 from where it was. Just simply, and like Kiel said, Ian Williams is very, very good in these races. He was second in the Northumberland Plate. He was third with a long shot in the Old Newton Cup last week. He was second in this race last year with One for the Gutter. He's just very good at this time of the year in these type of races. And Real Dream is £6 well in on his run from the other day. I thought, obviously, it's only a 4-runner race, but I don't think there was any fluke about it. If anything, he was the unlucky one in the race. I think dropping back to a mile and 6 suit him. And he was upside's Endless Victory. Of course, Endless Victory was unlucky, but, you know, who knows what could happen. And at the prices, I thought him, whatever he was, probably not now, was a good bet as well. So that would be my two, Endless Victory and Real Dream. Of the others, I'm struggling a bit. I thought Champagne Prince was a little bit dangerous if he got loose on the lead. I don't think he's going to, because Align the Stars is in there, and that's about it, really. I didn't fancy anything else.
No, fair enough. Yeah, Real Dream, yes, he went odds on him running at Sandown as well, because he looked like he was ducking and weaving, and he looked like he was going to come with the run, and like you said, it didn't quite work out for him, but he did run up a bit of a cracker. The only other one I think we should mention is Story Horse, who won a mile and six on the Rolly Mile and then got beaten neck by French Master at Goodwood in May and was ahead of Dancing in Paris. So again, he's the kind of, I guess, William Knight and Safi Osborne aren't quite as exciting as Appleby and Buick, aren't they?
No, they're not. And yes, I don't know. I just think they might be a little bit better than him. But it's a handicap and he's down the bottom of the weight, so you can obviously make a case for him. I just thought he was about the right price. Do you know what I mean? Around 6-1 was about right.
Yeah, probably just it. But he is one of those horses who just kind of plugs and sometimes it it drops. Dave Brown says, Align the Stars for me. Ross Yard won it 3 times the last 6 years. Ran well at Ascot, despite being keen, so dropping triple suit. I think the stars are aligned for this. Lovely. Lovely there, Dave. You brought it right back around at the end. And Jim Stanton says, the prices go, and Tom says, that was me. like a guilty farter.
I'm not guilty about that. You can ask my wife.
Tom's posh, he doesn't do that sort of thing.
No. Yeah. Well, I thought that's why we don't invite him into the studio, but you never know. Right, anyway.
What on earth am I doing here then?
Fair enough, yeah. Look, you can't see it, but I've actually glued my nostrils up. Right, anyway, moving on. Group 1 action up next in the Falmouth Stakes, where we have a 7-4 favourite, 3-year-old trained by Aidan O'Brien. In a group race, should we probably end it there, shouldn't we? 11-4 Cinderella's Dream, Crimson Advocate 7-2, Running Lion 10-1, Elwatin 12s, El Malka 12s, Atsila 14s, and 33-1, Lady Ilse, the outsider of the bunch, the German raider. And Aidan O'Brien says, well, it's not the full quote because you've missed listen off the start, but we were delighted we were in the coronation. She just about made it to the curragh for the Irish Guineas, so we know she would improve upon that at Ascot. We expect to improve again from Ascot. We hope there's more to come from her. Which, again, I think is... we could probably have all written that quote, but obviously she ran a bit of a cracker at Ascot. And, again, Tom, I mean, look, it's the three-year-olds again, isn't it? I mean, we're getting... yeah, I saw your piece in the Weekender. You know, last week we were looking at the Eclipse and thinking, crikey, what to make of this bunch? But I don't know. It could end up that, you know, Lion of Winter could go and win a... your 7 furlong group races, he could win the mile. It could be that Ballydoyle 3-year-olds win everything from here on going.
Yeah, could easily be. I mean, when we saw what Scandinavia did. Also, I don't know what Keels thinks, but I thought the race won by Crimson Advocate was one of the worst at the Royal Meeting. I just thought it was moderate form and moderate fare, really. I don't know. She was very well backed. It always interests me when a horse is very well backed when they've got like 50 pounds to find. Now people say it's because they know she's, I think it's because everyone knows that the other ones are a bit rum bunch, and I think that was what happened at Ascot. I think everyone got wind that Fallen Angel isn't the filly she was. Cinderella's Dream probably got flattered at Newmarket because her form previous to that wasn't that good in America. It was good, but without being that good. And maybe they're just not that good, the older fillies in this race. It's not like there's Nashua or any of those running in this. I mean, I think they're very beatable. So it doesn't surprise me that January is now a short price favourite at all. However, she is a bit tricky. She's a Kingman and she's a bit tricky. I've seen her. She every time she runs, she looks like she's the wrath of God. She looks like she's going to win every race she runs in. She gave in the Phillies Mile last year, she was going as well as the Desert Flower, and then she got beaten about 7 or 8 lengths. She got whacked at the end. And I just wonder if she's one of those fillies that looks good and then just doesn't find as much as she did. So I get that she's the favourite. But I thought there was some value in one of the big price ones, and I think Atzilla is going to run really well for Donnacrobe, last year's winning trainer. The form of the Atharsi Stakes that she won 2 starts ago is one of the best pieces of form you'll see anywhere if you read the form book. The winner,
was California Dreamer, yeah.
So Garden of Eden was in there, and Barnavara was in there. Barnavara's won group races and listed race.
Yep.
California Dreamer was second in the Irish Guineas. Stern won the Coronation, and Garden of Eden won the won the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot. It's just very, very good form, and you can throw out her last run because she got bumped at the start on in the Irish Guineas, and everything, the first, second, third, and fourth all ran down the rail, and she got bumped at the start, came right round the houses, the ground was too soft. Didn't get a clear run. She's only beaten she was seventh. She finished in front of January. I just thought when she was 33-1, she was a big price. She was a big price because she's only had three runs. The form of that Atharsi had worked out really well. And so I was prepared to throw a few quid on her. I think she's come into about the right price now. That's probably where she should be. But it's a Donald Crowe O'Brien horse. She's got a very good record with fillies, bought a tuna from last year. And I thought, I don't know, you can make a case for saying that that form, that Atharsi, as good as anything January's done, and so I don't know. I thought she was a big price.
Well, I mean, not even on that, she was one place ahead of January in the Irish 1,000 guineas anyway as well. So there's even if you take that, you can if you throw it out, people say, oh, throw that race out. That's why, you know, I'm rating January on Ascot, and even if you do that, you can throw out Scylla. And if you take it literally, you still end up with that Scylla at big price anyway. So yeah,
that's what I thought.
I mean, she's almost. She's the Circene of this race, isn't it? Where people are, you know, yeah, but better connections, better races, that kind of thing, and then they possibly pay for it.
Yeah, and listen, she was a tracker horse of mine very early in the season when she won at Bellewstown. Now, I don't track a horse, many horses from Bellewstown, and like horses, I'm not as good as keen a tracker as I'm made out to be in the paper, but I do use one, and the horses just don't come from last and win round that track. And she missed the break by miles. Now, it wasn't a brilliant race, but there was a horse in it, Jorge Alvarez, that went, probably didn't stay the trip, but has been sold for 300,000 or something of it this week to go to Bahrain or something, and had some good form in sprint, and she absolutely walloped. So she's always been on my radar as being a very good filly. Whether she's this good, I don't know, but she was definitely worth throwing a few quid at when she was a massive price.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it'd be hard to disagree that this is a weak renewal of the Falmouth, wouldn't it? But yeah, I mean, Cinderella's Dream, to my eyes, got beat fair and square at Royal Ascot, albeit Charlie Appleby's horses at Royal Ascot, and obviously they always run better here.
Yeah, they do, but I'm still not buying that Charlie Appleby at Royal Ascot. It's just a blip, isn't it? Not that bad there, is he? He had a win on Rebel's Romance Day, and I don't think Cinderella's Dream ran that badly. She just got beat by a faster horse.
Yeah.
And it's the thing, I actually took the view that none of them were any good, to be honest. That was where I was coming from. I mean, January was coming to 2-1 second favourite. But let's face it, the Coronation Stakes was a rank bad race as well. That's the way I'm looking at it. There was no winner of the British Guineas, no winner of the Irish Guineas in it. It's very rare for the Coronation Stakes to be like that. So that was there to be won.
I agree with you. The only thing is that the time was surprising. I thought, oh, I'm going to do this and the time's going to be rubbish. And I was like, oh, God, actually, it's quite good. But you're right, the best horses weren't in the race.
Yeah, that's what I'm generation. Thinking. The best horses weren't in the race, and you know it was there to be won. Now I could be wrong, but I thought it probably still, you know, for me it still revolves around Cinderella's Dream and Crimson Advocate. And when you're looking at this, I think, you know, I thought in the Duke of Cambridge running line got a very easy lead, and I thought she was going to win. She was shot a couple of lengths clear in the straight, but she didn't. And the fastest horse simply won. Crimson Advocate was a Group 2 winner. Over 5 furlongs as a juvenile, wasn't she? She was running in sprints. She's just got to change her gear. You know, and there's no obvious pace in here either. So I just think she'll come through and be the fastest horse again.
Yeah, I mean, she stepped up to a mile. She should have won at Kempton. She got beat by Soprano. She should be 3 from 3 over a mile.
Yeah, she gets the trip and she's just got to turn her foot at it. So I thought that would be her. I mean, I haven't backed her. I'm not sure I'll bother having a bet in the race because, you know, there were more interesting races for me to betting. But the way I was looking at it, I know she was getting £3 off Cinderella's Dream, but she went by if she wasn't standing in the last half furlong or so. So I'd make her favourite out of the first three in the betting, and she's third favourite. So
that's a times man, Ross. It wasn't great, was it?
What wasn't, sorry?
Crimson Advocate race. Wasn't, no. I know they went very slow, but it's hard to make it out of a brilliant form for me.
I just thought, I mean, like I said, I was expecting to sit down and look at both that and the Coronation and go, well, they were bad renewals. And the Crimson Advocate race was like, oh yeah, you know, bang average time. And the Coronation was much better than I was expecting. So I was like, oh, okay. Which made me immediately think that, you know, Late Victoria would have won the Coronation by half the track, but given it was all very similar form. But I'm just going to give... I agree, I think the Crimson Advocate race isn't that good. I'm going to give January one more chance, I think. The thing, I agree with you to a certain extent, Tom, about I'm worried about her resolution. I would say, though, that it might be... She's a Kingman, she might be a proper fast ground filly, and she travels up well on softer ground and doesn't quite quicken up on softer going like when she was behind Desert Flower. So I'm going to give her one more chance on rattling fast ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. It's just that she's 7-4 now, isn't she? So, you know...
I'm not going to back her, yeah.
You know, it's just that earlier in the week when she was 5-1 or whatever, it was probably a very good bet. 7-4. Yeah, might still win, as you say.
Fair enough. As for the chat, Cinderella's Dream is Robert Ballard's banker. El Malka at 16s, great each way place, says Vincent. Again, to be fair, another Newmarket horse. Destiny Sounds agrees with Tom, has gone for Atzilla. Destiny Sounds says, please ask Tom not to tip Atzilla in the papers.
Sorry.
Bit late for that. Another.
Good luck now. It's on the website now, Destiny.
Yeah, sorry, Destiny's answer. Another, it's a Tom Siegel guff there. But Dave Brown says, going forwards, when do it? Oh, yeah, correct. I mean, yeah, Dave, I'd love to go forwards, Dave, but we're going to end up chatting all night, I think. And maybe I'll come back to that. But yeah, that's about it for the 3:35. Like the stream, please, right now. I'm going to do my best. What was his name? Paul McKenna. You can stop smoking and like the stream. Will it work? You never know. Right, 4:45 at Newmarket. 7 furlong handicap here, where Brave Mission is 5-2 favourite. Up the pace, 5-1. Olympus Point, 11-2. Sterling Knight, 9-1. Two Tribes, 9-1. Dawny Lake, 9-1. Saxodia, 9-1. Leadman is 12-1. Hickory Eminency and Darkness at 16-1. And again, producer Sam already salivating like a Pavlovian dog at the mention of Darkness. But Brave Mission, who was well beaten in a messy Britannia, is the favourite here. And yeah, again, another Royal Ascot race to get tested here, Tom.
Oh, this is surely a Keels race. This is where Keels will have done this, like, to death. This is not one of my races, so I'm a little bit behind the...
You're right, curve. I apologise. I looked at the top and I thought it said ITV and it actually said RTV, so that's why I threw to you. So I apologise, that's my fault. Keels, another Royal Ascot race to get tested here.
Yeah, we backed Brave Mission, didn't we, at Royal Ascot? He ran a shocker, though. I didn't think there was any excuses for it myself. So yeah, 3-1, not interested. Might bounce back. Obviously, lots of us, lots of people, including us, expected him to be a lot better than that. But no, I took a chance, which I'm ruining already because he's not running, but I actually backed Dawny Lake at 40-1 each way for the Bunbury Cup because I was sure it would cut up and I was sure he would go in that instead. Because I thought he was a big eye catcher, first run at 7 furlongs last time at Newbury, because he literally pulled the jockey's arms out at the back. They didn't go very fast. The winner made all set his own pace, but he got it well enough and he finished well enough to finish fourth despite all those antics. Michael Bell has stuck a hood on him, hopefully to calm him down a little bit, but there ought to be a little bit more pace in the race here. He's a Godolphin cast off. He's already won twice with Bell over 6 furlongs, finishing strongly each time, and looked like he was back in form again last time. And you know, I think he's still quite well handicapped off a mark of 89. So I've had to back him because I want to get my money back for the anti-post.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, he's one of the. He's. I don't think it's unfair. I think some people, and obviously, you know, Tom, to a certain extent, can, you know, struggle to forgive a horse after one bad run. I guess that's more in the better races as well, in handicaps. I mean, Dawny, like, he was too far back at Ascot. I mean, he was badly drawn at Newbury over 6. Like I said, they didn't go quick enough over 7 next time out. In these handicaps, you can have 3, 4, 5 runs.
Of course,
you just don't get the split.
I mean, he was still quite eye-catching last time. Yeah. He was still quite eye-catching. So I think he's got a chance. Yeah, I've generally myself have no problem forgiving a horse a bad run unless it's favourite. Then I'm less likely to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it looks like everybody else has.
Fair. Yeah. You're right. You want to get a price.
You want to get a price about it. If you're going to go in there with a question mark, you want to be able to get a price, don't you?
Yeah. If everyone goes, oh, that was an eye catcher, that you got beat on the wrong side, and then it goes off 9-4, it's a bit different, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
A couple of the horses mentioned. You took Old Boys. He's not quite as old as Dutch Decoy, but Sterling Knight. Oh, what a horse he is.
Yeah, he's an old favourite of mine. Very consistent.
His last 17 runs, he's run to an RPR of 88 or higher. Partly that's to his detriment because he never gets dropped by the handicapper. But, you know, he ran a blinder last time out. And the other one, which is Sam's favourite horse, I think, but Darkness.
Oh, yeah, he's a proper old favourite of mine. And again, he is one that you can forgive a bad run. Because, what's he won? Four times here, won twice, and been fifth in a Bunbury Cup.
He's won both. He's two from two in this grade at this track.
Yeah.
He's got an incredible firm ground record as well. David O'Mara's just started to click back into form.
Yeah,
again.
Absolutely. He's had five winners since Friday. Well, that was before today, so I don't know whether he's had any more today as well. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could give him a right chance, yeah, because he has been fifth in a Bunbury Cup, and he's won here. And, yeah, he throws in the occasional sloppy run, doesn't he? But when conditions are right and he's in form, bang, he comes back again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to put a class 2-7 furlong soft ground at Epsom where they went off the front. I think I'll forgive him that for sure. But and this is the point where I go to Tom Siegel and he goes, I didn't even look at the race. I don't really have an opinion. However, and then mentions the winner. So over to you, Tom.
I haven't really looked at the race, Ross, but the one I do fancy is trained by a chap who wouldn't be sitting in your studio because he's way too posh. Edward Smythe Osborne.
Yeah, fair enough. Actually, but he does, I don't know if you've seen him playing a Cockney chimney sweep.
Yeah, exactly. He's a better actor than Keels, I can assure you. This horse is just improving, isn't he? Lots of wins by his name. Back at 7 furlong at Doncaster last time. I just think he's going to run well for the ESO.
Yeah.
Edward Smythe Osborne.
There you go.
I mean, great run, actually. Fair play to him. He had a 2-year-old winner the other day at
Haydock.
Haydock, didn't he? And this horse is running well, so good play to him. He's doing incredibly well. He should have more horses.
Yeah, I agree. He's really making a double barrel name for himself, isn't he? So fair play to him. In the chat, Sam Hart, Sam's just contract producing the show rather than telling us Darkness is going to win in capital letters in the chat. Dave Brown's gone for two tribes. Don Williams has had a nice win on Darkness in this 2 years ago. Same again, please. And my boy says Darkness won at Thurston Fast Ground in May. Forget the last run. We will. We will indeed. Right, let's... Let's get up the A1, shall we? And pop over to York for a couple of races. Of course, John Smith's Cup weekend. And 7 furlong handicap. First two races tomorrow at York are very good indeed. Dubai Treasure is it's not just Newmarket, where the boys in blue are favourite. Well, admittedly, this is Syed Bin Saror, but he's been in cracking form as well. He's 7-2 favourite. 50 Nifty is 9-2. Streets of Gold 5-1. Physique 10-1, Talis Avolver 10-1, Sword 10-1, Omalulu is 12s, Mr. King, not again, is 12-1, Obelix is 14s, and it's bigger the rest here. So, again, it's a proper York race, isn't it? 15 runners isn't enough for a 7 furlong handicap round York. Maximum 22, you pretty much get 20 plus normally. But we've got another Syed Bin Saror favourite here, but again, he had, was it the Thursday or the Friday at Royal Ascot, where he was banging them in at Chelmsford, Ascot, and everywhere else.
Yeah, he still bangs in. He still bangs in his winners, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, he doesn't have so many to run these days, but he still does. This one is pretty interesting. Obviously, he's done very little really on turf, but he's only run four times in his life. He's won his last two on the all weather. Both, you know, the runs were almost a year apart, and he did win quite easily last time. My only issue with it is that he got hit by £10 with a £10 rise for winning a class four on the all weather by a length, which, you know, the handicap has built in every ounce that he had in hand, isn't he? You know what I mean? And I think I think that's going to be hard enough. He's also, you know, drawn wide on the outside. If they cling to the rail, it might not work out too well for him. Obviously, we don't know where they go. Something they have in the last couple of seasons. Started to favour the far side a few times, haven't they, on these round courses. Then other times they come up the centre. So,
I mean, York is a law into itself at times.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I thought I had to take him on, and I mean, the price has gone a little bit now, but I'm hoping Julie Camacho has a good time up there, because I really, really fancy Nakib for the John Smith Cup, and I really, really fancy Streets of Gold for this race tomorrow. He was once with Eve Johnson Horton. He's been moved. He was a big eye catcher. a really big eye catcher, I thought, in that race won by Native Warrior on the all weather. That was his first run since October. His first for Camacho. He just got tired a little bit late on. He was coming with a run, just got tired. He got beat a length and a quarter, and I thought, you know, any drop in the rate, you know, yeah, he only got dropped a pound, but I mean, even that was generous for such an eye-catching run.
I thought the key thing as well, the first three home, that they were, it was a seven furlong race, but it was
ended up on the wrong side, didn't he? Which is unusual for there because he was on the stands rail, but I just thought it was a massive eye catcher. He's entitled to come on for it. No reason why he should bounce. And yeah, okay, he hasn't won since he was a two-year-old, but he's actually been to York twice. Went to York twice as a two-year-old and won both of them. One of them was a 100 grand handicap. Another one was a 100 grand sales race. good races that he won. He was rated 107 at the start of last season. He's 96 now. He's incredibly well handicapped. And yeah, I thought that was more than eye-catching enough to have a proper bet on him.
And Julie Camacho had seven runners today between Doncaster and Carlisle. Two winners, two seconds and a third.
Yeah, she's flying as well, yeah, she's flying. So, you know, all the stars are aligned as far as I would say.
I'm going to follow the same form and back the other one, though. Talis Avalver. I've asked you off air, but Tom Siegel, Richard Hannon at York this season. What do you think his record is?
Well, I have no idea, Ross.
He's had nine runners, four winners and five placed. He must be the only trainer in history to run nine horses at York in a season and have them all finish in the frame. I mean, of all the tracks...
The trainers at all the tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Richard Hannon at York. Who knew? I mean, apart from... Well, actually, Mum's Tipple. That's it.
Possibly.
Yeah, Tiggy Wiggy, potentially, actually.
What was the horse that won the Keel Tour? Remember the two-year-old that won the Nunthorpe?
Not Zebedee.
2-year-old, the one the nuns of, the Lyric Fantasy.
Lyric Fantasy. Oh,
that was a Hannon horse, wasn't it?
That was, yeah. Right, yeah.
Back Sayer Darty when she beat Lyric Fantasy in the Sheehy Park. Remember that?
Oh, there you go. Let's have a quick look at how old I was when. Let's have a quick Lyric Fantasy Nunthorpe. That was, 1992, so I was eight.
Well,
your memory kicks in after you're three, doesn't it? So what's the matter with it?
Exactly. What's the problem?
Look, I can remember what stickers I didn't get in the Panini sticker book that year, but I'm not sure I can remember what was winning the Nunthorpe. But that's fair enough. Anyway, like the stream, if you can remember Lyric Fantasy. Talis Avalver, he might just be an all-weather horse, but he's one run on turf over seven furlongs. He was fifth in last year's Bunbury Cup off what was he off? He was off a much higher mark. I don't know, my page won't change, whatever it is. Sixth in the Bunbury Cup off a mark of 100 last year. And like I said, he's Richard Hannon's only runner at York. And yeah, let's see if he can make it 10 in the frame from 10. That'd be pretty good going, wouldn't it? But anyway, any opinion in this from you, Tom?
I like Streets of Gold. I think the interesting thing is that he's moved to Julie Camacho, but he hasn't changed owners. He's not been sold. It was not like they thought he was useless, let's get rid of him, and, you know, one of those. The same owners still have him and moved him up north. And he's definitely well handicapped on loads of pieces of form. He was third in the Jersey one year, wasn't he? On very fast ground. So he's got a good chance. Dubai Treasure is just dangerous because it's just side Vince Aurora in handicaps. He wins them whatever they will go up, whatever they do. And he seems to use the all-weather as his sort of training ground for them to go onto turf. It's happened with the one in Britannia, was it this year? It happened in the one in the Hunt Cup a couple of years ago. He just does it. So he's very dangerous. Didn't find anything out of the ordinary at all. I thought Sword is an interesting horse, but he gets too far behind. I wonder whether York will suit him. Physique could go well. He's another Kingman. They're both by Kingman, those two. They're a bit funny, but... because he's got a lot of ability, but I thought it was between Dubai Treasure and Streets of Gold.
Okay, lovely stuff. There we go. And quickly in the chat, Favwin says, Mike Boy. Great, thanks. Moving on then, the Summer Stakes at York 2:45. Fillies are 6 furlongs for this Group 3 sprint, and Sayeda Darian is 7-2 to test that Commonwealth Cup form. Everyone's favourite Group 1, fourth in that behind time for Sandals. First Instinct is 9-2, Night Eyes is 9-2, Celandine 11-2, Arabian Dusk is 8, Electric Storm 8, Hold a Dream 9, Tiger Bay is 12-1, and you've also got Rogue Sensation, Rage of Bambi, who's another proper York horse, Enola Holmes, and Beaujolais Nouveau, which I assume is a posh wine. So I'll be asking Keels about that in a second. I'm sure he's shared a glass or two with Surrey and McKellen at some point. The favourite here, Sayeda Darian, you've got, I mean, again, Royal Ascot form being tested here, Tom. You've got your Commonwealth Cup being tested. You've got your Jubilee being tested. Yeah, and then quite a few York horses in here as well. Anything in the Summer Stakes stand out?
Yes, Night Eyes stands out like a sore thumb for me. I think the Jubilee form, she was fourth to Satono, Rev and Lazat, who are two of the best sprinters in the world. It is light years ahead of the Commonwealth Cup form for me. She was hot on the heels of Flora Bermuda, who is second favourite for the July Cup. She was in front of Inish Sharon and loads of group proper sprinters, Anaf and all those ones. I just think she's an improved filly. She's got very good fast ground form. Can't see why she isn't favourite myself. I think she's got the best form and it's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, she might. It's that type of market where I could easily see her being favourite tomorrow, I think. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, if your Flora Bermuda is the same price for the July Cup as Night Eyes is for this, it seems a bit odd to me.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, and there was no fluke about it at all. She's got a very good record. If you look back to all her 3-year-old form, she's been Flora Bermuda loads of times. She's run against Flora Bermuda a few times, even when she was a 2-year-old in the and in the Scurry Stakes last year. I think she beat Flora Bermuda. So she's just a very good filly who people, I don't know, I don't understand the Racing Post ratings on this race at all. I can't work it out. They seem to have rated the Golden Jubilee through her. And I thought she stepped up markedly. And I think she...
Yeah, okay, Night Eyes then, 9-2. My only, she was a huge eye catcher at Haydock before that as well. I'm slightly concerned that she just keep getting going too late and they'll have to step up to 7 for her potentially. But she's very, very talented. But quite a few have interesting trip comments. I mean, First Instinct went a blind. There's never been a 5-furlong filly in a million years, has it? Off the back of that Air Run. And you've got other other York horses in here. Anything for you?
I just thought, on her best form, and she's in and out and didn't run very well last time, Arabian Dusk is not a 10-1 shot at her best. Yeah, she was well down the field behind time for Sandals. There might be a query. She might want the ground a little bit softer, but she's got good and bad on soft as well. Like, you know what I mean? And just 2 starts ago, she's been a short way by Symbol of Honour. He's joint third favourite for the July Cup. She was ahead of First Instinct, who's half the price. I just thought it was a little bit too big.
I thought the price was possibly the 11 box, given how the sprints at York sometimes go towards that low draw. That was the only thing that I looked at.
Yeah, they don't always. And later in the summer, it sometimes goes the other way, doesn't it? So I wouldn't worry too much.
You're right.
I wouldn't worry too much about a field this size either.
Yeah, it's not a 20-runner sprint handicap, is it?
And that would be, that wouldn't worry. The stalls are in the centre, so it's not like something's on the far rail. So that wouldn't worry me too much.
And I just look back, actually, and I had said exactly the same things in 2022 when Simon and Ed Christmas teamed up and Floatus made all from box 10. So, actually,
I think she's got a chance. I don't think she's as good as Floatus. But
No, she was very good.
One thing I would say is Ed Walker, who is also very posh and wouldn't be in your studio, couldn't be more
He's very positive,
bullish about Celandine in this race. I mean, even in the quotes tomorrow, he says, she's working the house down. Nothing will get in it, or something along the line. She'll be really, really hard to beat if she produces her homework. She did win the Lowther. Was it a Lowther? Here? Is it the Lowther?
She beat
Time for Sandals and Arabian Dusk. I think we're in that race too. And if he's right, she's drawn in stall two, so she'll be on the opposite side then. And she's obviously got a good chance too, because he obviously has Balmoral Lady and Magira, who have been, and he reckons she's working better than them.
Actually, I mean,
you'll have to, because Balmoral Lady was last on the, or Anna Shocker at Sandown on the Saturday.
Yeah, she's working better than Balmoral Lady. Oh, wait, no, Balmoral Lady's not working very well. Hang on. But you're right. I mean, Ed Walker, Paul Mulrennan, drawn two, course and distance form at York. It's not bad, is it? And she's, I think she's unbeaten 6 furlongs fast ground as well.
Perfect for her. But I think she has to step up. I mean, she did as a two-year-old. I mean, it's a different cat of fish now, but that's why I'm all over night eyes, really.
The main thing after talking about this race is why is the favourite the favourite? That's the only thing I can't. The main thing I can't work out here. I guess
she ran very well, didn't she? I mean, she was sort of trapped in the middle in the Commonwealth Cup. It depends. I don't know. The Commonwealth Cup four was, you know, the horse that beat or was second to time for Sandals won the Jean Pratt the other day, didn't it? And beating Shadow of Light and Lion in Winter and all those ones. So maybe it's a bit of a better race than I thought, but maybe Time for Tandles is just very good because she won on her own up the middle when everything else raced down the near side. But I don't know. I thought the Golden Jubilee was light years better race than the Commonwealth Cup.
Okie doke. And night eyes for me to Dave Brown as well. And that's about it in this. Apart from HUFC 1997, says Clermont Foran in the 8:20 at Newbury tonight, lads. Fair enough.
Oh, HU, Huddersfield United?
I assume
Huddersfield
so.
Huddersfield Town? No, it's Huddersfield Town. Who's HU? Who's
HU? HU.
Hull City, no.
No.
Don't know. Text in and like while you're doing it.
HU. Yeah, I've absolutely no idea. Anyway, we've got an ad to come up, so we can maybe play it then. But I don't know. Tell us in the comments. Like the stream. And if we get over 500 likes tonight, Keels will do the famous Hamlet speech. which he's done many, many times before as he's in his days treading the boards. And he'll do that tomorrow live on the show. Hartlepool United, says Tom Williams.
Hartlepool, there we go.
Right, okay, Nap's coming up after this. Lovely stuff then, get involved Racing Post. Plus, of course, you can get Tom and Keel's selections before anyone else, which means you won't be missing the price on those Donegal O'Brien three-year-olds. And Clermont Ferrand, I've just realised I will have to back that horse because my wife's beloved grandfather worked for Michelin there for many years. And was a bit of a mad scientist at Michelin in Clermont-Ferrand. So if that's not a tip, I don't know what is. So thanks for HUFC 1997. Lovely stuff. Right, best bets on the Friday. Mr. Paul Keighley, what are you going with?
Yeah, I really do like Streaks of Gold in the 210 of York.
All right, let's hope they are paved accordingly. What about you, Tom?
I think that the most likely winner and probably the best value is Still Endless Victory myself. I think that'll just win.
Yep, fair enough. Just win. Lovely stuff, yeah. I do think Talis of Olver is going to run a big race at York. But I made the mistake of changing today. Prince of India was going to be mine. He was the big eye catcher. So Regalian in the first at Newmarket for Haggis and Tom Marquand. I will go far there. We're back tomorrow night where we're going to be covering 287 races in the space of 60 minutes. And I've got Tom going through the Limerick card as we speak, so join us for that. And thank you to everyone for watching. Mike Boy's Nap is Dubai Treasure. And we got it wrong. Hereford United, after all that.
Oh.
So there we go. Lovely stuff. Right, okay. See you tomorrow night.